Psalm 19 is a scripture read that reading that Joe read this morning. I want to read verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. There is no greater book or thing you could ever hold in your hand than the Word of God. Great preacher of old said, if you have the Holy Spirit in your heart and the Word of God in your hand, you have all you need. And that's so true. Problem is that there's been a battle that has been raging for many years, probably since the late 1800s. And it just seems to keep coming up over and over and over again. And it's the battle of the King James only debate. And to put it simple, there are some within Christianity that say the only Bible you should use is the King James Version of the Bible. And if you use any other version of the Bible, you are less than a Christian or no longer a Christian, or somewhere subservient. In fact, they would say that if you don't use the King James Version of the Bible, it's not even the Bible. I had a call about a month ago or so. Lady on the phone looking for her church. She called me up and she said, can I speak to the pastor? I said, yes, that's me. And she said, well, could you tell me if you use the Prince James Version of the Bible or the New Prince James? And I said, you mean the King James, right? Oh, yeah, that's the one I mean. So here's people who really don't even know nothing about the whole thing, don't even know the words. And they're already pushed by others. A number of years ago, it's when I was first pastoring. It's probably back in 1982 or 1983. How many of you were born after 1982? Nate? Oh, boy, college kids not born. Well, anyway, I was asked out to breakfast by another pastor, and I did not know, but it was a setup. When we went out to eat, we ordered our lunch, and as the waitress left to get our food, all of a sudden from underneath the table, he pulled out a stack of stuff, I kid you not, this thick. And he said, I want you to read all this. And I said, well, what is it? He said, that's all the information you need to know as to why you should use the King James Version of the Bible. And I said, you know what? I've probably read every single bit of literature you have. I don't want to read it. The next Sunday morning, I was the subject of his sermon, of how I was a heretic and a liberal because I don't use the King James Version of the Bible. Psalm 40, verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of God stands forever. I want you to know this morning that the Bible you hold in your hand is the Word of God. Isn't that awesome? I mean, think about it. The God of all the universe spoke to you and I, and He put His words in our hand. Every so often I talk to somebody, and they get a letter from the president. And not just this president, but other presidents, and you know, they'll show it to me. Look, I got a letter from the president. You know, it's one of those ones that just kind of goes out to everybody. We hold in our hand the Word of God. Some people say, well, you know what? What you have in your hand is really not the Word of God. Men wrote it, and then somewhere along the line, they changed the words and they changed things. So you really don't have the Bible anymore. I want you to know this morning, if God took the time to talk to us, God also made sure that we still have what He said. Called the doctrine of preservation. In other words, that God's maintaining and making sure that what we have today and what people have for generations to come, if God does not come back, is His Word. So why is there such great debate? Let me say this. I understand those who believe in the King James only version of the Bible. I understand where they're coming from. They have a desire to make sure that we make sure that nobody takes the Bible and messes it up. Understand where they come from. Understand their heart. But I believe their zeal is misplaced. How did all this get started? Two things happened that started this whole Bible version debate in the United States. The first was the beginning of evolution. Late 1800s, Darwin came out with his theory of evolution. People began to look at the Bible and they began to rethink the Bible. The second thing that came out was something called higher criticism. Higher criticism is the act of going and looking at the Bible and kind of sitting down and saying, did God really say that? Did Moses really write that? Are these really the words of Daniel? And people began to rethink Christianity when these two things came out. And they both came out in the late 1800s. And then there was an event that really began the battle. In 1952, this Bible was published. Incidentally, this is the first Bible I ever owned. It is a Bible given to me when I was 10 years old by my mother and father. And little did they know they were giving me a liberal Bible. This Bible is the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. The reason this started the battle is because in Isaiah 7:14, instead of saying a virgin shall conceive and be with child, it says a young woman shall conceive and be with child. It was put out by the National Council of Churches that did not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. So they changed the word from virgin to young woman. And boom, it exploded. And at that point, everyone said any new version that came out is a liberal version. Now, the Revised Standard Version is a revision or an update of what was called the American Standard Bible, which came out in 1901. The American Standard Bible was a revision of the King James Bible, which came out in 1611. The Revised Standard Version has now been revised. And the Revised Standard Version today, so you may know, is now the English Standard Version. So if you use an English Standard Version, it's really a revision of the Revised Standard Version. The English Standard Version is a group of conservatives that went back and revised the English Standard Version, but they put back in the word virgin and not young woman. Incidentally, this is a good version of the Bible. In the late 70s, the New International Version of the Bible began to be published. And by the late 70s, early 80s, it was completed. I had a choice to make. When I was in college, I had all kinds of versions in front of me. I had the King James Version. I had the New American Standard Version, which is an updated American Standard Version. I mean, I had all these things in front of me. And I asked myself this question. When I become a pastor, I want so bad for people to read the Word of God. I really want people digging in and memorizing and learning the Word of God. What version of the Bible will help people to do that? Well, for an older person, they would say the King James Version of the Bible because that's what they read as a kid. That was, you know, the thing that everybody read. But for a new person growing up, they hadn't read that. And when they go back and read that, it becomes very hard to read. And I made the decision, not for me, but really for all of you, that I wanted a version that was solid, that was a good translation, that people could understand. And I chose the New International Version for that reason. I have been attacked over the years because of that by preachers, by people beyond your imagination. That doesn't bother me. All that matters to me is that you're in the Word of God. But let me show you some of what goes on during the debate. Now, there's two ways I could handle this. One is to get very deep and deal with all the technical stuff and lose you. The other is to say very practical and kind of as easy as possible and hopefully not lose you. That's what I'm going to try to do. Let me take this debate dealing with a couple of different issues. And I'm going to do something different this morning. I have a remote that I'm going to try to control what you see behind you. First of all, there are several issues. The first issue is the issue of the text behind the version. The issue of the text behind the version. What I mean by that is the Greek manuscripts that all of the versions are based on. The first Greek manuscript is called the Byzantine manuscripts, or the Byzantine text. If you want one word that will describe this text, it's the word more. We have more of these texts, and there are like bunches of them. Some of them contain the entire New Testament. Some are parts of the New Testament, but there are bunches of them. In this type, there are more than any other of the three I'm going to show you. It is these Greek texts upon which the King James Version is based. So remember that. King James Version is based on these texts, in particular, the Textus Receptus, which is about 1/100th of the Byzantine text. The second one is called the Alexandrian text. Words that will help you remember is older and closer. So though the Byzantine has more, the Alexandrian has older text, which means closer to when the Bible was written. The oldest text we have in the Byzantine is about 350 AD. So if you think the Bible was finished writing around 96 AD, the oldest is about 350 AD, but the Alexandrian goes all the way back, very close to the original writings. The third one is the Western, one word disputed. So it really doesn't matter a whole lot. And the fourth one is the Caesarean, and that's kind of a mixture of the first two. So the thing that matters for our debate, our talk this morning, is the first two. The Byzantine is where most, or where the King James is based. The Alexandrian is where the New International Version is based. The New American Standard Version. The English Standard Version. The Holman Christian Standard Bible. All the newer versions tend to be based on the Alexandrian. So here, remember this. This is important. If there is a difference in Bible versions and wordings in a verse, the reason for that is because the King James is based on the Byzantine and the the New International Version is based on the Alexandrian. Not because the New International Version took words out of the Bible, or New American Standard took words out of the Bible. It's just because they're both based on different texts, Greek text. Now, in particular, as I said, the King James Version is based on the Textus Receptus. The Textus Receptus is about 1/100th of the Byzantine text. When we go to the Bible or we go to the manuscripts and we try to decide which manuscripts really were God's words, we take all these texts and try to put them all together and try to learn and figure it all out and come up with what God originally wrote. And we know that from the Bibles we have, you could take about a paragraph of all the disputed words, and not one single one would affect any Bible doctrine. The problem with the Textus Receptus is that some of the verses that are in it, and some of the words that are in it, are found in no Greek text. In fact, the last several verses of the book of Revelation was not found in any Greek text, so
the person who put the Textus Receptus together, he went to the Latin Vulgate, which was a Latin translation of the Greek, and he kind of translated them back into the Greek and then into the English. So the Textus Receptus is not the greatest text in the world. One of the issues that they bring up is the issue of the 1611. And what they will say is, you must use the 1611 version of the Bible, or you're just not using the Bible. So if you have a King James with you this morning, who has a King James version in their hand? Anybody? All right. If you open up the front of your King James Bible, in the front of it, you will see, mine doesn't have it. But in most of them, if you open up it, it will say the 1611 King James Version of the Bible. And these people will say, unless you have the 1611 King James Version of the Bible, you don't have the right Bible. In fact, in 1982, a new version of the King James came out. It was called the New King James Version of the Bible. And all they did was update some words, but it's based on the Textus Receptus. It's exactly the same as King James, but they took out the these and thous, and they updated the language so it would be a little bit easier for people to write or read. And still they'll say, this Bible's no good. It's got to be the 1611 version of the Bible. So I want you to know this morning, nobody today has the 1611 version of the King James Bible. What you really have is the 1769 version of the King James Bible. In fact, if you've ever seen a manuscript of the 1611 version of the King James Bible, you cannot read it. The English language has changed so much, you just simply cannot read it. I was standing in a church one day preaching, and I had this Bible, my King James Bible, and they asked me, do you have the 1611 version of the King James Bible? And I opened it up, and I know somewhere in here it says 1611. I opened up and I said, well, yep, it says 1611 version of the King James Bible. But none of us really have one. They don't even publish it anymore because it is unreadable, because the English language has changed so much. So when people get into that argument, I want you to know that no one has that 1611 version anymore. The other is the issue of reverence. Often people say, you know what, the King James Bible is just the more reverent thing, and I like the reverence of it. I like the language of it. I like the these and the thous. Well, I want you to know, when the Bible was originally written in Greek and Hebrew, they didn't use these and thous. These and thous are no more reverent than you. In fact, I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with words, or with groans that words cannot express. Now, let me ask this morning, is the Holy Spirit a He or an It? Can anyone tell me? Cesar, your eyes, if they get any bigger, they're going to fall out. Is the Holy Spirit a He or an It? He's a He. Well, I want you to know, if you have a King James in front of you, in that verse it says itself. All through the King James Version, it calls the Holy Spirit an It. I want you to know that's not too reverent. It's not an attack on the King James Version. My intention is not to attack it. I'm just trying to show you some of the differences and why I use the NIV. So the reverence really is not an issue. The other issue is the issue of literalness. Some people come to you and say, well, you know what? The King James is just more literal than the New International Version. Well, turn your Bible to Romans chapter 3. And I want to begin reading in verse 3. What if someone did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true and every man a liar. I want you to know I've compared the NIV, the King James Version, the English Standard Version, the New American Standard Version. And I want you to know in every one of those versions, at places they are more literal than others, and others are more literal than the others at other places. But here's an example where the NIV is far more literal than the King James Version. I want you to key in on these words. Verse 4, the first three words in the NIV, not at all. Who has the King James Version this morning? Jim, read the first words.
That God forbid.
All right, good. First words of the King James Version here is God forbid. I want you to know the word God is not in the Greek. The words in the Greek are me genoito, which simply means may it not be. It's kind of a word like may this never be true, may it not happen, not at all, which is the NIV. So the NIV is more literal here than the King James Version. There are times in translating, and Cesar Maritza can back this up, and even Martin can, when you cannot translate from one language to another language word for word and in the same word order and get the same meaning. So there are times when you have to work with the words and what the writer was trying to explain to actually get that meaning in another language. And that's why in every Bible version there are times where you don't use the exact same words because you're trying to get the thought of the author, and every Bible does that. Is that right, Martin, Ritza, Cesar? Yeah, okay. The issue of comparison. I've been picking on Cesar, so Cesar, would you come here a second? All right. That's pretty snazzy. Didn't your mother ever tell you to tuck your shirt in? She has. That's kind of style, right?
It is.
Cesar's my buddy. But I want you to know he's not too good a guy. You know why? Because he doesn't look like me. If he looked like me, he'd be much better. But the fact that he doesn't look like me makes him second class. I mean, look at the color of his skin. It's not the same as mine. Look at it. He has a ring on his finger. I don't have a ring on my finger. He has a suit coat on. I don't have one on this morning. His hair's more curly than mine. I mean, he just doesn't measure up because he's not like me. Who asked you to talk? You know what? That's exactly what the King James only people do. They start with the King James and say, if you're not like me, then you're wrong. But that's not what we should do. King James isn't the standard. The standard is the original text, the original Greek and Hebrew. So all the English translations have to go back to the original Greek and Hebrew in order to understand what the text is. So this issue of comparison that people throw at you all the time has a wrong foundation. Besides, he's much better than I am. Thanks, Cesar. Let me deal with one last issue. Don't close your Bibles because it's going to be a long one. J. Do you know that words change over the years? People often ask, why are they always making new Bibles? You know what? We have to. Because over the years, words change. In order for me in 2009 to understand what was written back in 1600 BC, we have to take words today that would explain those words. And words today may not have the same meaning 200 years from now, so we may have to make more Bibles so that we can understand the words then. Let me give you an example. I use this Wednesday night. If I were to say this morning, I'm gay. I'm not. No, I really am. See, gay means something different than it did years ago. If I use the term gay today, it means I'm a homosexual. But if I use the term gay years ago, it meant I was happy. So words change. So we need contemporary versions to help us with the language that we are in today. In fact, you know, I was reading on the internet Thursday that there's some internet terms you shouldn't use anymore because it's all changed. So words are changing all the time. Let me give you some examples. Matthew 19:14. Here's the King James Version. But Jesus said, suffer the little children. What? All right, let's get our clubs out. Let's get our clubs out and let's make those little children suffer. Well, he's not saying that we ought to make kids suffer. He's saying, let the little children come to me. But see, the words changed. So if you were sitting home and you're reading your Bible and you read that, you'd say, what? It's not a matter that you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. It's just a matter that the words have changed. And just like when God originally gave the Bible, he gave in the common language of the people of the day, we need to be able to read the Bible in our language so we can understand it. 1 Timothy 6:20. Well, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings. And notice this phrase, and oppositions of science. Does that mean the Bible's opposed to science? It's King James Version. Here's the NIV. Chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. The word knowledge in the NIV and the word science in the KJV is the same translation of the same Greek word. But the NIV translates in the way we can understand it today. Here's the Ephesians 1:14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. What in the world is an earnest? Here's the NIV. Who is the deposit? We know what a deposit is, right? Same meaning or same word as the word earnest. We just don't use that word anymore in that way. 1 Samuel 9:3. I'm not going to read this. This is the King James Version. Self-explanatory. Here's the NIV version. Now, if you were back years ago and you read it that way, it would be fine. In fact, even today, if you're on a farm, you might use those words. I'm not going to use those words in church or anywhere else. NIV updated the words. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. It's talking about the rapture. And he's saying we're not going to prevent the dead. Well, the NIV says we will not precede those who are falling asleep. Just an updated language. There's even a verse that talks about in the King James, if I remember the words right, it talks about, and we followed the compass. But it has nothing to do with anything that we would understand. Anyway, on the side wall, I have the different Bible versions over the last 400 years, what each version meant or what it was about, And then in the pink sheet, you'll see some differences between the NIV and KJV. But these are the reasons why we need updates in Bible languages. I believe the NIV, the English Standard Version, the New American Standard Version, and New King James Standard Version, and even the King James Version, are very good translations. Of course, I like more updated. I like the NIV. But they're all good versions for us to use. You know, how sad it is that we Christians have to find things to fight about. But the reason we have this battle, again, is because of the Revised Standard Version, because of higher criticism, evolution, and the big change that happened. If you want to read more about this whole debate, there are two very good books. The first book is the King James Only, Plea for Realism. The second is the King James Only Controversy, Can You Trust Modern Translations? There will be people that come because you use an international version, and we have people in our church that have had this battle even this summer who will say that you are not using the Bible. I want you to know the New International Version is as good a translation as anything out there. If the English Standard Version, New American Standard Version, you know, some of these other versions are just as good. But don't let anyone, and most of these people don't even understand the issues themselves. Don't let anyone cause you to think you're any less of a Christian or you're any less because you use the International Version than anything else that's out there. What you have in your hand is the Word of God. So which translation is the best translation? Here's the answer. Listen closely. It is the one you read. Let's pray. Father God, help us to read your word. Help us to use it. Help us to dig into it. And I pray, Father, that your word will change our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.